The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, if at any point during the show it sounds like I'm a little bit distracted, it is because I am, because right now, I mean, I have got some playoff baseball on in the background, and right now the Kansas City Royals-Baltimore Orioles game is in the ninth inning, and it's a 2-1 game, so it's pretty close, so hey, anything could happen. The Royals could be moving on in this one, but we'll see what happens. But let's get to Monday Night Football in the two games that we had Monday night, beginning with the Tennessee Titans at the Miami Dolphins. This actually ended up being Tennessee Titans domination from start to finish. It was mostly the battle of the field goals. This was a very uneventful game. I mean, the score actually made it sound like it was a decent game. The Titans won 31-12, but real talk, this was like a 9-6 game heading into halftime, I believe. So that's how it was. It was just field goal after field goal. On the Titans side, though, Tony Pollard and Spears, both of their running backs, both scored a touchdown each. So, hey, at least we had some touchdowns in the game, because at first it looked like it was just going to be field goal central, because that's all it was. And that's all that Miami ended up getting anyways. But, yeah, Miami's offense looks terrible without Tua Tagovailoa. They can't get anything going. And the Titans were just able to do enough. It was actually kind of funny because they benched their quarterback, and the Titans benched their quarterback and brought in Mason Rudolph. And that's just because, you know, he's been playing better. Or, I mean, he came into the game, and then the Titans actually started to play better and more consistently right off the bat. I mean, on the first drive, God, I'm drawing a fucking blank on the quarterback's name now. But anyways, he was making a run for it, and then he landed on his shoulder, and then basically ended the rest of the game. It looks like he possibly could have gone back in, but once Mason Rudolph went in, it was actually kind of funny, because the Titans actually, they weren't good, they didn't look good, but they at least looked like a team that could score some points, and they actually did end up scoring some points. Moving on to the Seattle Seahawks at the Detroit Lions game, that actually was an interesting game. The Detroit Lions, they dominated it, but it was a very interesting game. Seattle pretty much hung in there for the most part, and they made a run there at the end, but Detroit was just able to hang on 42-29. Jared Goff had himself a perfect game. He went 18 for 18 with 292 yards and two touchdowns. Then Gibbs also added in two touchdowns, and Montgomery as well, he added in a touchdown. So that ground and pound for the Detroit Lions is working out perfectly. They're looking like a real solid team. They beat a real solid team, because the Seattle Seahawks actually put on a pretty good show. I mean, DK Metcalf, he had a solid game, and they just, offensively, they actually started to get it going, and defensively, they didn't look terrible. They just had, you know, the Lions are just a better team, and they were just able to do their thing. But I'd say Seattle, actually, they hung in there and made it a decent game. All the way through, but Detroit gets another big win. So let's move on to the top 10 NFL power rankings for this week. And we do have us a new number one, and that is the Minnesota Vikings, because they're 4-0, and they just are dominating in every way, shape, and form. They offensively just are lights out. Sam Darnold, 932 yards passing and 11 touchdowns with only 3 interceptions. So he's not only just lighting it up, but he's also not turning the ball over a lot. And then, of course, you got Justin Jefferson, who's just making amazing plays in just about every game. And then he also takes away a lot of the defense, starts to focus in on him, and then that just opens up the field for the rest of the guys. And then you also have Aaron Jones. He's come in and looks like Aaron Jones. Then you also have this. They are the highest scoring defense in the league. They have 17 sacks on the season. They just are pretty much the most dominant team. So I actually had to put them at number one in the top 10 NFL power rankings for this week. But then at number two, not falling too far on the top 10 NFL power rankings, is the Kansas City Chiefs, because they are still 4-0. They do keep on winning, but they're barely winning. They're getting tested every single game. But when you look at these two teams, it's just Minnesota's really just about every single game. They just come right out the gate. They just dominate. Their defense has been so dominating. It's like with the Chiefs, it's pretty much Mahomes and their defense and everybody else. And like I said, they're barely getting wins. They could easily be 0-4. Rather than 4-0, but since they are the Chiefs, they are 4-0, but they didn't fall far. But it's just this week they did fall a spot because Minnesota is just on fire right now. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Detroit Lions, overall record of 3-1. They are just killing it in all the ways you need to. They are dominating the offensive line. They're dominating the defensive line. Their ground attack. They've got a two-headed monster, Jahmyr Gibbs and Montgomery. These two guys are fantastic. Gibbs has 3 touchdowns. Montgomery has 4 touchdowns. So both of these guys are just getting it done. And they are angry runners. They have had some, especially Montgomery, he had this crazy, crazy run on Monday night where he just like smashed into two guys and just kept on running for like, I think like 40-ish yards. But these guys have just been amazing on the ground. Jared Goff has been able to just tone it down and not really make a bunch of mistakes. And then, of course, defensively, they look real good. Hutchinson, he leads the league in sacks with 6.5 sacks. And they just look like a pretty solid team right now. Then at number four on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Buffalo Bills. Overall record of 3-1. They did lose this week. They pretty much got their asses beat by the Baltimore Ravens. But Josh Allen, he is doing his thing. He's got 814 yards on the season with 7 touchdowns and 0 interceptions, which is something he needed to improve upon over the years, and he is really doing it. He is carrying this team. I continue to say I feel like it's going to be a problem at some point, but until then, he's that good. It pretty much showed in this game against Baltimore because they did get their asses whooped. And if he is getting his ass whooped, then ain't nothing happened from this Buffalo Bills team. But overall, they're still a solid team. And Josh Allen is starting off the season fantastic with 0 interceptions. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Overall record of 3-1. I am very surprised at how good this team looks, especially on the offensive side of ball. Baker Mayfield, 984 yards passing, 8 touchdowns, and only 2 interceptions, and he is lighting it up. And I mean, he's got some great receivers with Godwin and Mike Evans. So he could just bomb it to both of them. But I mean, he's delivering some excellent plays, and they just look really good offensively. And defensively, not too bad. I actually thought they were going to be pretty bad on defense this year, and they still look like a pretty decent defense. And so the Buccaneers, you know, they've really been putting it together. Mayfield looks like he just fits in with this team. And offensively, I really like what I see from this team. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Houston Texans, overall record of 3-1. C.J. Stroud already over 1,000 yards on the season. He has 1,056 yards passing, 6 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. So he's also not turning over the ball a lot, really just making smart decisions with the ball and leading comebacks as well. Then on the defensive side of the ball, they have 14 sacks on the season, so they're really getting at the quarterback, really making it difficult for other teams. And they're right behind the Vikings, actually, with the turnovers and actually scoring on the defensive side of the ball. So Houston, while I still think on the offensive side of the ball, they still have some growing to do. Defensively, you really don't want to fuck with this team. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Washington Commanders, overall record of 3-1, and it's all about Jaden Daniels, rookie Jaden Daniels, 897 yards passing, 3 touchdowns and only 1 interception. He also has a rushing touchdown as well, or a couple rushing touchdowns, so he's really getting it done in many ways. But the thing that you like to really see out of any quarterback, but especially a rookie quarterback, he's completing 82% of his passes. That's, I believe, the highest in the league. It may be off by a couple percentage points there, but I'm pretty sure he actually leads the league in that category. So for a rookie, he's extremely accurate. They actually don't, I wouldn't say they're a prolific offense. They definitely have some guys like McLaurin and Eckler who are definitely there to help him out. But I'd say overall, just Jaden Daniels, he's really delivering a superb ball. He just is, he's on target. He never misses, and he really doesn't turn the ball over a lot either. So we'll see how long this lasts, because he is a rookie, and I would not be shocked to see any rookie mistakes come from him. But, you know, C.J. Stroud started this last year. He looked pretty solid in his rookie season, and so far Daniels is pretty much following suit. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Baltimore Ravens, overall record of 2-2. And this team is, of course, all about Lamar Jackson, but Derrick Henry is starting to get in the mix as well. So Lamar Jackson, he's got 858 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, and only 1 interception, so he's really keeping down the turnovers as well. On the ground, he's got 308 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns, so he's getting it done both ways. He's being the guy, making the right moves too. He's running when he needs to. He doesn't look like he's really hesitating at all. It feels like he's really kind of at peak Lamar Jackson. But Derrick Henry, it took him a couple of weeks to get going, but boy, has the dude got going. Did you know Derrick Henry leads the league in rushing right now already? Derrick Henry, I mean, he looked like it was a slow start those first couple of games, but these last couple of games, he's just amassed a couple of hundred yards in each of the games. So right now he's at 480 rushing yards and 5 touchdowns. I mean, shit, in this last game, he just popped off for, what was it, like 67 yards or something crazy like that. So, you know, he's already doing his thing on the season, and it looks like this rushing attack is going to continue to be amazing. And if they just keep it up at this pace, Derrick Henry's going to be mowing people down, and then you got Lamar Jackson just passing it, and then you also have the fact that he can run as well. And not only can he run, but he can run like Derrick Henry, where he can juke, he can get out of the way, and he's really not afraid to take a hit. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Seattle Seahawks, overall record of 3-1. They just are getting it done in every way. Offensively, they're not really lighting anybody up, but they're still getting the job done. They're getting a job. All their running backs, they're stepping it up. Then you've got DK Metcalf. He is making big plays as well. He's got 366 yards receiving and 2 touchdowns on the season. But then their defense as well, they are getting at the quarterback. They've got 14 sacks on the season. So I don't know if Seattle's going to keep it up at this pace, but who would have thought that we would be talking about the Seattle Seahawks being at the top of their division with the San Francisco 49ers, the Rams, and the Arizona Cardinals here. I think we all pretty much put Seattle at the bottom there, if not, you know, the bottom 2 for sure. But I don't think any of us had the Seattle Seahawks leading their division right now at this point in time. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings at the Pittsburgh Steelers, overall record of 3-1. I kind of feel like they got a little bit exposed this week. Just, you know, offensively, I still think there's a ton of questions. They don't really have a lot of weapons. Defensively, of course, they're one of the best in the league. And TJ Watt is just a beast. But they're going to have, I feel like they're going to start to fall apart here as the season wears on. And I just don't really see their offense maintaining their course. But hey, they're 3-1 right now. And defensively, they just look damn good. All right, moving on to Thursday Night Football in Week 5. We have us, it's actually the beginning of bye weeks. So we have those beginning this week. We actually have the Detroit Lions, the Los Angeles Chargers, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Tennessee Titans all on a bye week this week. So let's get to Thursday Night Football. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are at the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, the Falcons are a 2.5-point favorite. This is a division battle, so it should be a pretty decent game. I feel like both of these teams, offensively, they've got the firepower, but Tampa's been able to put it together, whereas Atlanta, it feels like they're still finding their way. I wouldn't be shocked, you know, if Atlanta makes this a little bit of a game, but I just kind of look at this as I feel like the Tampa Bay Bucs offense, I just said, they're completely in sync. They look really good, and they don't really have a major weakness, at least on the offensive side of the ball. And they're just playing really well, and they've got 2 top-notch receivers. You got Baker Mayfield playing the way he's playing. You got this emerging running back in the backfield who's actually making some big plays. You got their defense stepping it up. And then you've got Atlanta, like I said, still finding their way. So I don't think that really bodes well in this one for them. So I've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning this one 28-17. Now, let's move on to the college football rankings in the top 12 for this week. I knew this was going to happen once the Georgia-Alabama game was played. I knew that whoever won the Georgia-Alabama game was going to move up to number 1. So, My Texas Longhorns had to be bumped down a spot, and Alabama Crimson Tide has moved up to the number one spot, as they should be. They're 4-0 on the season, and they just kicked the crap out of Georgia. Yes, it ended up being a close game. Georgia made a little bit of a run there at the end. Final score ended up being 41-34, but Alabama was kicking their ass from basically the jump. And, well, yes, Georgia mounted a good comeback, but it wasn't good enough. And Alabama kicked their ass to the curb. And now Alabama is the number one overall team in the country, as they should be, because they just kicked the crap out of the number two team. So they deserve to be at number one. And this week they're going to be playing at Vanderbilt. Then, as I said, my Longhorns fell down, but only one spot. They knocked down to number two. But they're still looking good. They're 5-0 on the season. Arch Manning had yet another phenomenal game. We kicked the crap out of Mississippi State 35-13. And it's just awesome having both Ewers and Manning at quarterback. It looks like Ewers is going to be playing against Oklahoma, not this week, but next week. The Longhorns actually have a bye week this week. But at Oklahoma next week, I'm just telling you, if he struggles, just get ready for Manning, at least the calls for Manning to be coming. But I don't really expect Ewers to fall off, but you just never know what's going to happen. And Manning, I'm sorry, he is a special player. From what we've seen so far in these three games that he's played in, two of them he started, he's going to be a great NFL player too. But I'm just stoked that I get to see this dude in a Texas Longhorns uniform for a couple years, because it's going to be difficult for anybody to be winning that Heisman unless he gets injured, because he's just so good. He's so precise. He does, of course, make the mistakes that a young guy is going to make. But I mean, overall, like, he's just so athletic. He's so precise. He can just kill it on the deep ball. The guy just is fantastic. And so I'm excited about this. But we will be at Oklahoma in 2 weeks, so we've got the bye week this week for Ewers to get a little bit more healthy. But I like having this issue, because Ewers is awesome as well. But like I said, if he struggles, look for him to get yanked and Manning to get put in that game pretty quick. Then at number three is Ohio State. They are 4-0, and they're coming out, off of a win over Michigan State, 38-7. But they're actually coming off of a bye week. They play Iowa this Saturday. Then at number four, Tennessee is just moving on up in the ranks. They got a win over Oklahoma, 25-15, and they will be at Arkansas this week. Then number five, Georgia fell three spots after their ass kicking from Alabama, 41-34. They will be playing Auburn this week, and that's a big loss for Georgia, really. I mean, especially at this point, because now they've tumbled three spots, and now they've lost to Alabama, who they just can't beat. And we'll see if the season, because the season does not get easier. Hey, Texas and Georgia play here in about 2-3 weeks here. So we could be seeing another powerhouse versus powerhouse. And if Texas gets that win, that puts Georgia at two losses, at least at that point. I mean, who knows what's going to happen in between. But I don't know. Georgia's starting to fall. You got all these other teams like Tennessee creeping up there. And then Alabama now just vaulted up there. Three spots. So yeah, they basically just traded spots at this point. Then at number six, we have Oregon. They moved up a couple of spots. They just took out UCLA 34-13, and they're 4-0 on the season. They will be playing MSU this weekend. And then at number seven, we have Penn State. They've moved up a couple of spots. They're 4-0, and they just took out Illinois 21-7. They will be playing UCLA this weekend. Then moving down a spot, to number eight is Miami, the U. They are still undefeated, but they did have a pretty crazy game against Virginia Tech. It was a 38-34 win, but barely win. So they just hung on there, but that is going to happen. But it did cost them a spot. But they will be at Cal this weekend. Then at number nine, we have Missouri. They've moved up a couple of spots. They're 4-0 on the season, and they just got by Vanderbilt 30-27. They will be at 25th-ranked Texas A&M this weekend. Then at number 10, we have Michigan moving up a couple of spots at 4-1. They just took out Minnesota 27-24, and they will be playing Wisconsin this weekend. And then moving up a couple more spots as well, USC, they are 3-1 on the season. They just took out Wisconsin 38-21. They will be at Minnesota this weekend. And then at number 12, we have Ole Miss. They just stumbled on down because they got upset this weekend at Kentucky. Kentucky got the win 20-17, so they are now 4-1 on the season, and it was a, it was not a good game from Ole Miss in this one. So I mean, you should have seen the looks on their faces, and in their post game press conferences, they just looked completely demolished in that one. All right, so let's move on to baseball. actually, basically, right after I finished my show on Monday, I just finished talking about the Kevin Mutombo and him dying. Well, then, like a couple minutes later, Pete Rose dies. So he unfortunately passed away on Monday. One of the greatest baseball players to ever do it. Played with the Cincinnati Reds from 1963 to 1978. Then with the Philadelphia Phillies from 1979 to 1983. Then with the Montreal Expos in 1984. And then ended his career with the Cincinnati Reds from 1984 to 1986. He was a three-time World Series champion, NL MVP in 1973. He still owns to this day Major League Baseball records of 4,256 career hits, 3,215 career singles, 3,562 career games, 14,053 career at-bats, and 15,890 career appearances. So obviously, not only was he just a fantastic baseball player, but he was extremely reliable and just would go out on every single play. I mean, he was 84, so he was an old dude, so that was about to, that was going to be happening, but still, he was a legend of the game. Of course, not in the Hall of Fame due to his banishment from baseball for gambling when he was a manager, but I've already expressed my thoughts, feelings, and opinions on the matter, and, you know, since it's just a RIP, I'd rather not just get into a stupid rant over it, but you know, one of the greatest to ever do it, and have to at least acknowledge it, especially since we are in the playoffs. They just started on Monday, so that's not how you want to start the season, but we have had some good games leading up to this. So it started off yesterday with the wild card round, the Detroit Tigers at the Houston Astros. The Detroit Tigers not only dominated game one, but they dominated game two as well. In game one, they got the win 3-1. It was all about Tarik Skubal. He's been the best pitcher in the league this year, especially in the American League. He's easily the front runner for the Cy Young. And, nobody scored. They didn't score a run on him. As a matter of fact, the Astros didn't score a run until the ninth inning. It looked like they were going to attempt to make a rally, but they never did. So Detroit got the win in game one. Then in game two, it was a battle all the way up until the sixth inning. Nobody scored a run. Then Detroit finally cracked it open. They got a couple runs, or they got a run. Then Houston started to get it going as well. They had everything all tied up at two heading into the, I believe it was the eighth inning. And then Detroit just ripped it open, and they have moved on to the ALDS. They got the win 5-2. This is going to be the first time since 2016 that the, or is it 2017? It's either 2016 or 17. That we won't see the Houston Astros in the ALCS. That's how dominating this team has been in the postseason, so it's actually quite shocking how bad the Tigers dominated them. But hey, like I said, AJ Hinch was the manager of this Astros team, so he knows what he's doing. He knows how to win in the postseason as well. And I guess he banged those trash cans a little bit louder than the Houston Astros did this time around. Just saying. So the Detroit Tigers are moving on to the ALDS to face their division rival, Cleveland Guardians. So we'll see how that goes. We'll get more into that when we talk about it on Friday's show. Then game one between the Kansas City Royals and the Baltimore Orioles ended up being a close battle, but the Kansas City Royals walked away with the win 1-0. Bobby Witt Jr. got the single that scored the one run to get it in. And it looks like their game just ended. Let me see if I could get the score for game two to see if they've moved on. Yes. So the Royals actually, it looks like, oh, nice. So, yeah, they did just sweep the Orioles, who didn't even get a win. So that's pretty pathetic for them because they were pretty much the top team in the American League for a good chunk of this season. And they just got dominated by a young Kansas City Royals team. So the Royals will be moving on in this one to face the New York Yankees. So we'll get more into that matchup as well on Friday's show. Then in the National League wildcard matchups, we have the New York Mets at the Milwaukee Brewers, and they just completely the Mets just completely dominated the Brewers. It's crazy because I thought they were going to have a little bit of fatigue from that doubleheader that they had to play on Monday, and it really did not show at all. They pretty much had this game wrapped up for them. I mean, it was back and forth there for a little bit, but you could just kind of tell the Mets really had control of this game most of the way. Vientos had two RBI on the night and actually knocked in the game-winning runs for the Mets to go on and win. They take game one, and right now, game three is on, and last I checked, it's a commercial break right now, but last I checked, it was tied at one, so we'll see how that one goes. Then the last game of the night in the National League on the wild card side, San Diego Padres versus the Atlanta Braves. Straight up domination by the San Diego Padres, but also their starting pitcher, King. He had 12 strikeouts on the night and just dominated this Atlanta Braves team. Now, I know the Atlanta Braves are reeling, but they're still the Atlanta Braves. And man, the Padres just dominated 4-0. Fernando Tatis came right out the gate, smashed a home run, and the Padres pretty much did not look back from that point in time. All right, so we will be talking ALDS, NLDS on Friday's show. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports, y'all, and I will talk to you on Friday.